This is VOA News, reporting via remote. I'm Jeff Custer. Infrastructure in Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, has been hit hard overnight by Russian missile strikes. Associated Press correspondent Charles Duledesma reports.
Mayor Vitaly Klitschko says 80% of consumers in Kyiv have been left without water supplies due to the damage to a power facility near the city. Local authorities were working on restoring the supplies as soon as possible. Klitschko says in the meantime, Kyiv residents should stock up on water from the nearest pump rooms and points of sale. In a separate telegram post, he adds water supplies in some areas of the city will be restored in 3 or 4 hours, and power had already been restored in one of the city's districts. I'm Charles Duledesma.
Ukraine Presidential Office Deputy Kirilo Tymoshenko said Russian missiles targeted electricity installations in a number of Ukrainian regions. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba said the attacks should not be justified by calling them a response, an apparent reference to Russia's claim that Ukraine carried out an attack against Russia's Black Fleet off occupied Crimea. Meanwhile, a UN spokesman for the agreement that reopened Ukraine ports for grain exports earlier this year told Reuters news agency Monday Turkish and UN teams restarted vessel inspections under the Black Sea grain exports deal after Russia suspended its participation Saturday. Russia said it had halted its role in the deal for an indefinite term because it could not guarantee the safety of civilian ships after an attack on its Black Sea fleet earlier. Or further east. The UN has said it agreed with Ukraine and Turkey on a movement plan for about 16 vessels Monday, 12 outbound from Ukrainian ports and 4 inbound. This is VOA News. South Korean police are investigating what caused a crowd surge that killed more than 150 people during Halloween festivities in Seoul over the weekend. It was the country's worst disaster in years. Police officers are analyzing video clips taken by about 50 security cameras in the Itaewon area and video clips posted on social media as well. They're also interviewing witnesses to find out exactly when and where the crowd surge started and how it developed. The dead included about 26 foreign nationals. Tens of thousands of people, including the president and other top officials, have visited special memorial sites, placed white flowers there, and bowed deeply to honor the dead. In South Africa, the first peace talks between the government of Ethiopia and the leadership of the Tigray region have raised hopes for an end to the nearly two-year-long conflict there. Linda Givtesh reports for VOA from Johannesburg.
The United Nations says more than 5.2 million people are facing hunger as a result of the war, and international pressure to find an end to the fighting is mounting. Peace talks led by the African Union began last week in South Africa between the warring parties. Political analysts like the University of the Western Cape's Namla Machanda agree an African-led solution is needed as the conflict affects the continent.
I think it stopped being an internal conflict with the introduction of Eritrean forces during the first wave of fighting, where we saw thousands of Tigrayans fleeing to neighboring Sudan.
But experts like Machanda warn the ongoing talks are only the first step in a lengthy process to achieving peace. Linda Givtash for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Months after overturning Roe v. Wade, the U.S. Supreme Court this week will review the nation's most among the nation's most contentious cultural issues, affirmative action and higher education. Associated Press Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
It's another test of whether the court's conservative majority will move the law to the right. The cases involve challenges to University of North Carolina and Harvard programs that consider an applicant's race, among other factors. Lower courts have rejected claims that the programs discriminated against white and Asian American applicants. The high court itself has twice upheld race-conscious college admissions programs in the past two decades, but the bench looks different now, with three Trump appointees, plus the court's first black woman, Ketanji Brown Jackson. She will sit out the Harvard case because she recently was a member of an advisory governing board. Sagar Magani, Washington.
More than 300 Iranian journalists have demanded the release of two colleagues jailed for their coverage of the Mahsa Amini, whose death in custody triggered protests during one of the biggest challenges to ruling clerics there in decades. Reporting via remote, I'm Jeff Custer. This